Hi lovely listeners, it's Lucy here and we are so delighted to have you on our Oh For Food's Sake journey with us. We've been going for over 2 years now and we're over 100 episodes in.
And we're really excited to connect with everybody, and what we wanted to do was just remind you how much your voice matters and how much the community that we're building matters. And your input is what keeps this podcast going. It's what keeps it vibrant. It keeps it engaging. And it means that we can continue to give you content that you really want to hear.
So we're on a mission to make Oh For Food's Sake even better and really make sure that it's meeting your needs and it's where, you know, you're getting the content that you want. So this is where you come in.
So we have got a really short survey, like 1-2 minutes it's going to take you to fill in. It's in the show notes. We would love it if you would click on that and just answer a few short questions about what is going to help you and what burning questions you've got, any content that you would like to hear on the podcast. So please go and click on that link.
Yeah, link in the show notes, and we can't wait to hear your perspectives. Welcome to the Oh For Food's Sake podcast, where we unwrap the joys and struggles of working in the food industry so you can thrive in what you do best while sustaining a rewarding and fulfilling career or business. We are your hosts, Lucy Wager, food industry consultant,
and Amy Wilkinson, food industry coach. We've worked in the food industry for the last 20 years and we're here to share with you the benefit of our hindsight. Our podcast is for you to find new ways to cope with the daily struggles, but mostly to inspire you to work on what's not working to ultimately improve your career or business long term. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Oh For Food's Sake. Today we are talking about performance anxiety, and this one is a topic that comes up time and time again in the one-to-one sessions that I have with female leaders in the industry. Loads and loads of people in quite senior positions that are completely competent still worry about how they're being perceived in a meeting, or if they've got to do a presentation or that sort of thing, which Lucy's doing surprised face to me. Does that surprise you?
Well, when you said it would be good to do an episode on performance anxiety, I was like, I mean, you're always coming up with like terms that are sort of coachy language.
Yeah, you're like, what the hell do you actually mean? Which I will come on to what I mean by it.
And I obviously I can kind of get what performance anxiety is, but it's that I was just going to say, well, it sounds like we are on the wrong podcast and we should be on like Theatre Time or something. Cause it's like,
but no, yeah.
It is surprising. I mean, it is surprising. It isn't surprising because it's, I suppose you'll tell us, but I presume this is quite linked to sort of imposter syndrome.
And yeah.
That, but it's that horrible, we all, like lots of us have it, but we imagine that we're the only person that suffers from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And every woman I talk to is like, I'll be like, and what do you think is going through the mind of the other people in the room? And then pick it apart and it's like, yeah, everybody. So, because I always think that with like things like imposter syndrome and when we're talking about self-confidence and stuff like that, I think everybody else thinks that they've got it together. The other people have got it together and it's only them. But actually, I can tell you, having coached 107, I think I'm at 175 different people now.
That's a nice
Yeah, we all have it, you know, to a greater or lesser degree. So dictionary definition type thing is, it's also known as kind of stage fright or presentation anxiety. It's basically that fear, that nervousness, that apprehension that we get just before we're going to, you know, I get it when we're running a training course. So, you know, I'll be absolutely fine. And then the half an hour before I start pacing around the room, don't
it's
I?
Like an in, it's like an intensity, like a sudden like onslaught of, oh my God.
and you know, it shows up for me in different ways. Like I'll be getting really organized about how the pens need to be on the table and the Lucy, can you get the sweets in the bowls?
I tend to give her a wide berth at this point.
But, you know, it can happen in lots of different contexts. So it can be for big things like that, public speaking and job, you know, like the big things that you think about, like job interviews, things that really matter. But actually, it can just be in the everyday activities. Like, and you know, I used to have, I'll get my words out in a minute, anxiety. You know, I'm stumbling over my words because I've got a bit of performance anxiety over saying out loud that I've suffered with anxiety. And actually, even just phoning up for a taxi or phoning a supplier, I've talked about, you know, that things that for other people were really, really easy things to do, I would get that performance anxiety. So, and I know I was doing some training the other week and the head of innovation was saying she used to always write a script when she had to phone people and stuff like that. Like, I think if you're listening and you think it's just you, like it really isn't just you. We all get it.
And it's different for the problem is different for everybody, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I've never had a problem with phone calls, really. Like going and actually speaking to someone in person would be something that I would find really difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like I hide behind the phone.
Yeah. And I think in the context of my clients, it's usually there's two things that stand out the most. Those kind of feasibility type cross-functional meetings where you feel like you're going into battle. People call it the lion's den. And, you know, every business I work with has got a different name for it, like going into the bear pit. So there's that. Or there, a lot of the time it is because the people in the room are more senior, or a lot of the time it's people that have just been promoted to that senior level and they don't feel like they've got a right to have a voice in that room. And I do also see it where it's a woman in a room full of men. You know, there's lots of different factors that can add to that. But like you say, it's nuanced for everyone. Some of us are fine with some things and not with other things. So I think this is where it's really useful to note, like do the work, some of the stuff that we talked with Amy Polly about in the past in terms of mindfulness, thinking, noticing what's going on in your body. So we're always up in our heads worrying and thinking, but actually when you get performance anxiety, that's when your body starts to take over. So you usually get things like your heartbeat goes up. You might get sweaty, but I'm always sweaty. That's menopause, but I'm always sweaty. You know, some people get sweaty palms. You might find, I've found before, sort of when I've had to walk up on stage, I've thought in my mind, I feel fine. And then I look down at my hands and they're shaking. And you're like, oh my God, I didn't even know that I was nervous. And clearly my body is. Some people get dry mouths. That's why it's always good to have a bottle of water nearby.
Yeah. I get palpitations, which is actually linked to another. I've since been diagnosed with a condition called SVT, which is completely harmless, but stress can trigger these palpitations. Yeah. And that's really, so there can be things, and that's really quite debilitating and quite scary when it happens.
Yeah, I bet. And then adds to the anxiety, I would imagine.
Yeah. So there's like everybody's different. There's different things that happen to you.
Yeah. But I think, you know, so that might be going on in your body, but then it's like your mind starts to react. You know, there's that mind-body connection and it's that starting to doubt yourself. Oh my God, what are they all going to think of me? It's that this fear of being judged. We all have it. You know, I'm like a big fan of Brené Brown and I did that Dare to Lead course. And one of the big things that she's a shame researcher. So she talks about shame, and the shame is that feeling of they're all going to laugh and point at me type thing. Mm. But it's actually a fear of disconnection. You know, we're hardwired for connection as humans. We're afraid that those people are going to reject us because we say something wrong. And usually performance anxiety becomes part of that because
it's so, I'm smiling because it's like, that's like an evolutionary thing, isn't it? That we don't want to be like ousted out of the tribe that's going to keep us safe.
Yeah. And actually, and keep us alive, you know.
That's not going to happen. And I'm thinking, why have I ever had this? Because I'm not going to die if they reject me.
Yeah. But your brain cannot.
Yeah. it doesn't
distinguish
it.
Between that, because it's reacting to that, you know.
Yeah.
The connection between your brain and your body is so fast and so quick that it starts to believe that you need to run away. And so, you know, that's where we talk about fight, flight or freeze kind of feelings, where you might, you know, just want to run away and hide. You might want to blame everybody else and be like, this isn't my problem. I'm not going to do this, you know, or you might, you know, find yourself overcompensating by being really nice and friendly with everybody because you want everybody to like you. You know, that's all natural reactions in those situations. But what it can do is it can impact on your performance, because and I've talked about this loads of times before, but if all the blood in your brain is going to that bit that's keeping you safe and protecting you, it's not in the prefrontal cortex, which is the grown-up bit, or the human when we're talking in the chimp paradox terms. So you actually cannot be as rational, and you can't think straight, and you can't get your words out, because you know, when your mind just goes completely blank, somebody asks you a question, it isn't like you imagining that's happening. It's because the blood is going to the wrong place in the brain, and therefore you're not you can't think properly. And you can we will get on to what you can do about it in a minute, because I feel like I'm doing that. Oh my God, it's just awful.
Doom episode.
But what it can do is, and I see this all the time, is it can distort your thinking. So this is when we go into catastrophizing, worst case scenarios. You know, one small thing goes wrong. It happened to me recently, didn't it? I got like, you know, somebody had ticked just below the absolute. Everything was perfect in a workshop. And I'm like, that's it. End of. I'm closing my business. This is the end of the world. And it is all about that's your brain trying to keep you safe. It's like, oh no, because if you do anything, you know, you've got that shame feeling. If you do anything wrong, all those people are never going to want to work with you again. So you can start to overblame yourself, or some people become very blamey of other people, you know, like kind of like, well, it wasn't my fault. It was because they did this and they did that. And they're just all not very helpful things to do. So there are a lot of the things that show up, and I guess we've kind of said already, but I think it's important to reiterate, everybody has this. Everybody has it to a greater or lesser degree, but some people have learned to manage it better than others. And it isn't, you know, if you're listening at the start of your career and think this is going to go away as you get older or more experienced, it does a little bit, like, because I think with anything, the first time you do it, it's really, you know, there's the fear of the unknown.
And I was going to say, it changes, doesn't it? So the things that you have that anxiety about change.
Yeah.
But you still have it. But so I think, this is really important, because it's the next bit that Amy's going to talk about, is about how to manage it. Because I think identifying that you have it is like the first step to recovery. Yeah. Isn't it? Because then you can do something about it.
Yeah. But I think it's also important, because as my business has evolved over the last 3 years, I've started coaching more and more senior people, which is just a reflection of like how I've grown and I work with director level people that get this, you know, like it happens to everybody. So I think it's important that everybody listening knows that. And one of the things that I often find is people are like, how have I got to this stage in my life and my career and I still feel like this?
And that intensifies it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And actually, the reason you feel it is because it is a physiological and psychological thing that is hardwired into us as humans. So there is nothing wrong with you. It's just about learning to manage it, which I will come on to now.
And if you haven't read The Chimp Paradox, go and read it, because it is that neuroscience learning about the brain is just so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So amazing. You realize that we're just these like science, living, breathing, chemical things happening, and that's why we have the responses, and it's all evolutionary. It's just so powerful.
It makes me feel
so much better.
Yeah. I think it kind of validates how you how we're reacting. And I think also as women, not everybody listens to women, but we are women, I think also like understanding hormones and how they make you think. Like, we are not going crazy, you know, at certain times of the month. It is our, it's the chemicals that are making us feel that way. And actually learning about those, that's really helped me as well over the last pretty much probably 5 or 6 years, because I started I'm going off on a tangent here, but tracking my periods because I was trying to get pregnant. I've got a much better understanding of my cycle. And now it's like, why am I feeling this way? Oh, like it just pops up with a notification and you're like, all right, yeah, that's why I'm feeling this way. And I think it does help to rationalize that a little bit. So
definitely.
And think about your hormones.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, we've got an episode about the menopause with an incredible doctor. So if that is of interest, and you don't have to, you don't need to be menopausal or perimenopausal, I should say, to listen to that episode. It's just, if you're interested in that effect of hormones, it's a really interesting episode.
Yeah. And maybe we should do another one about that sort of, you know, managing things as a female and the you know, the different things that go on in your body.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get on to the, like, what you can do about it. I know what it feels like to be stuck in that cycle of feeling overlooked, undervalued and overworked, frankly. I get it, because I've been there and I've learnt about the reasons why that happens to us and what you can do about it. I want you to imagine feeling like you can confidently ask for what you want, get those promotions, those great projects that you want to, and get the recognition you deserve at work. You can do that by joining the Invisible to Influential program. And in 5 weeks, you'll learn how to own your own voice, speak up with impact, and get the time back to spend doing the things that you really want to be doing. So it's time to say goodbye to that self-doubt, that self-deprecation, and hello to feeling really confident in yourself, so you can make the impact that you really want to make inside and outside of work. I've run this course before. Those participants have said it's been a real game changer for them, and I want it to be a game changer for you too. So don't delay. Click on the link in the notes for more info, and I will see you there. So I think it's really important to think about, well, before we even think about the strategies, think about how it's impacting you, because you've got to have the will to do something to change. So it often impacts people because you get less opportunities, you're less likely to put yourself forward for things. It can stop you feeling as creative at work. It can stop you, you know, just doing your job properly. So identify as a starting point, why do I want this to change? Because we always start with why. And then think about the things that help you in that moment. And when I coach people, we work out different things for different people. And, you know, that's why one-to-one coaching is great, because it is different for everybody. But I'll give you some general tips on what the majority of people find helps, and what research shows that helps people. So doing things like deep breathing exercises. So we've talked before, haven't we, Lucy, about the finger breathing exercise, box breathing, that sort of thing. So what that does is it gets more oxygen into your body. Therefore, it usually slows your heart rate down, and it starts to make your brain think that you are safe again. So it isn't just about, you know, I think we naturally do it, don't we? When we get our kids to do it and whatever, but knowing that there is a science behind why you do that.
Yeah. And I think this is such an easy thing to do, but it's so powerful. So when I had these palpitation issues, I used to have to, I basically found a way to sort it out myself, and I'd breathe. I don't know if I must have, I used to hold one nostril and breathe in.
It's like a yoga breathing.
Yeah, that's it. Slowly through one nostril and out.
She's doing it now, if you can't hear it.
But it's, you know, saved me on a number of occasions where I was going in to do a presentation and would get these like awful anxiety attacks. And it, you know, it is such a simple thing. If anybody does suffer with palpitations, then you can also stimulate your vagus nerve. And I'm telling you this because I suffered for 10 years without getting a diagnosis for SVD, which is actually quite common.
Yeah.
Thinking that it was like because I was mentally stressed, but it's actually like just a like
body thing.
Body thing. So go and get checked. And
how do you stimulate your vagus nerve?
It's in, it's like, it's deep. I don't know. You have to hold your nose. You're like, this is,
we're going to do a video of this recording.
You hold your nose and like breathe, like try and breathe out as hard as you can. And like basically push like you're going to do a poo.
How do we know? to get to this on the podcast.
And that can also stop palpitations.
Okay. That is actually a really helpful tip, Lucy.
Yeah.
Don't do it in the office. Go to the loo to do it.
Don't actually. But for anybody that's listening, I suffered in silence for a long time. And it wasn't until I had a very severe attack. Mm. And it was actually, I was going into a meeting with Co-op. Mm. And I just couldn't control the palpitation. And my heart rate was at 180 for over an hour.
Wow.
And I walked
that was
into
scary.
I walked into a walking clinic in the middle of Manchester and was like, I think there's something wrong with my heart. And they sort of looked at me like, yeah, whatever. So went to see the nurse and I said, can you just put your hand on my chest? And she was like, Angela! I'm like, all the colleague over. They sent me to A&E and it did naturally stop. But you're supposed to. Then I got diagnosed because I went home and Sam was like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, this isn't normal.
Did you not make it to the co-op meeting then?
I think it was after the co-op meeting.
Oh, okay. So it was but like, they delisted you.
Probably. More than likely. I think there was a quality issue actually with the own label product. Anyway, sorry, totally got off on a tangent, but yeah, it's
not a tangent at all. I think it's really helpful. And I think that's the thing, like I'm sharing, you know, you can do breathing exercises and stuff. But I think the important thing for listeners is to think, actually, this is your body that you're having to deal with. So you need to do things to calm your body down. You can't think your way out of anxiety, performance anxiety.
And I will say as well, I think as you get older, your body, things that you could cope with, from a physiological perspective, in your 20s, you suddenly start to not be able to cope with as well physiologically, which is what happened to me. It got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. And I think that's partly that it's the memory bank of, so part of that neuroscience is it, you know, it keeps, and Steve Peters calls it the computer, but it has that stuff stored in there. So it's more likely to get triggered by difficult things because you've had more difficult experiences and it thinks it catastrophizes and thinks you're gonna, you know, that's gonna happen again. Mm. So doing things to calm your body down, so whether that's holding your nose and sitting like you're gonna poo, whatever, we're gonna put that video out. not of but yeah, so breathing exercises, that sort of thing. But also another one, and this is also proven, and I do this with clients, is visualization techniques. So visualizing, like closing your eyes and visualizing it going really well. Mm. I've got a family member that's going through an interview process at the moment, and I'm getting him to like imagine when he's got the job and, you know, how it's going to feel.
So this is manifesting, which isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't.
It's manifesting.
I guess it is manifesting, but it's tricking your brain into thinking it's all going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I guess it is.
Yeah.
You still need to prep for an interview, right? Yeah. You can't just visualize it going well and not have done the work.
No,
this
absolutely.
Is what I have. This is the problem I have with manifesting.
Yeah.
I think people interpret it as, you imagine that you've got this amazing big house and it will happen.
Yeah, well, no, you need to still got to do it all, but it's just part of the process.
Yeah, part of the process. Tools. Yeah. So visualizing it going really well. I think also working, if you are somebody that has that negative self-talk going on, you know, what are they going to think of me? Thinking about how you can reframe that. So one of my favoritest clients ever that I had, she had a fear of public speaking, and we came up with a mantra for her. We worked it out together that was, it's just talking. It's just talking. And so she was doing a big charity event, and she had to go up on stage and like do a speech and stuff. And she messaged me the day after, and she was just like, it was absolutely fine because I just sat there And yeah, when I noticed the feelings coming up in my body, I was just doing, you know, breathing and going, it's just talking, it's just talking, it's just talking. And it went, and she smashed it.
That's brilliant.
You know, so there really is, it's very easy to believe the thoughts that are going on in your head, but actually you can stop that cycle. You can add in more helpful thoughts to try and stop that negative spiral, because that is just going to fuel the anxiety. And so I think a lot of what we've talked about is about, you know, is being more mindful of what's going on in your body. It is about making your body feel safe. So one of the things you can do for that is that, you know, grounding techniques. I know you did this yesterday. Yeah. Was it yesterday or the day before?
It was the day before.
When and you were like going through the roof. Like, go on, tell everyone what you did. Yeah.
So school holiday, I can't even remember why I was so stressed, but it was like school holiday, mental load, husband, like workload, you know, everything.
End of the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just felt like I've just got to get out of the house. And I'd read a post. It's the co-founder of Hunter and Gatherer, who I can't remember her name at the moment, but she did a really good post. And she talked about how every morning she goes out and she grounds herself. I really like grounding, like it, but I don't do it enough myself, especially in school holiday. And I just thought, I've got to go and ground myself. I need to, like, I could feel like I was totally overwhelmed in my body. Like I was having like all these physiological reactions and just, so I just opened the front door and I think the kids were playing outside. So I went out the front onto like just a small patch of grass, like on the driveway. And I just stood and I just grounded myself and was just like deep breathing, just breathing in, and just, and I so quickly started to feel better.
And so noticed, by grounding, you took your shoes and socks off and put your feet on the grass, right?
So literally
grounding yourself.
Grounding myself on grass, standing in nature. And it literally was this tiny patch of grass off my driveway where I knew, I thought nobody would be able to see me, but Sam had seen me in the open window. I was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm grounding myself.
Getting away from you.
I literally said, I'm grounding myself. And he just shut the window.
He's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. But honestly, like, it so quickly helps to bring you back down and think everything's all right. And I only stood there probably, it felt like a couple of minutes. It probably might have only been 30 seconds, but it was just enough. And that's also what I love about Amy Polly. And her, because that work, because mindfulness for me, because I'm always like so busy minded, I can't do like 20-minute meditation. It's just like not going to happen. And her thing about just small moments, just taking those small moments when you can. That's what this is about, isn't it? It's like when you feel you need it, take it, and it doesn't matter if it's only 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, and it's just made me think now, because we've just recorded two episodes back to back and then we're going to do some more recordings. I'm going to go and stand outside for a few minutes because I just think it just helps, doesn't it? It really
it does.
And so it helps throughout your day anyway, but particularly in those moments where you're feeling that performance anxiety. Absolutely, you need to do that. And I think if you are really struggling with it, I do think there's, and obviously I would think this, but I know it because of the results I've seen for my clients, it's really worth getting the help of a coach or a therapist. But I think, you know, if it's work related, I think a coach is quite good because they understand the sort of environment that you're in, and, you know, they're not going to tell you to do things like, you know, pretend you're pooing in the office or whatever. But I think it is really helpful to get that help of somebody working through what's going on for you, what is causing, you know, what's the root cause of this anxiety that you've got, and then putting those techniques in place that will help you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was just going to say,
but you've also got your course coming out as well, which would be super helpful.
Yes, yeah. So the Invisible to Influential course, we cover a lot of this. So in module two, we work on a lot of the self-confidence things, the negative thought patterns, and how you reframe them. And then we've got two whole modules. It's a 5-module course. There's 2 whole modules on that assertiveness, getting your voice heard, how to perform in those moments where you need to. This is a course that I ran. I called it Invisible to Value last time. I've realised that it doesn't reflect what it is. It's about becoming more influential at work. And that is launching very soon. So we'll put that in the show notes, because I think, you know, if you've been listening to this, you know, you can't afford to get a coach one-to-one. This is a really good group program that will help you. You get to work. It's not like you don't have to do all of this work in front of other people. It's working through it at your own pace, but you also get access to me live once a week to allow you to ask lots of questions, and we can sort of tailor some of the course content towards you. Because, yeah, I'm just going to reiterate, everybody feels like this. You know, everybody I've worked with has got a little bit of this performance anxiety, and you don't have to go through it alone. You can get support, and it can get easier.
And that in itself is actually just really useful to know, isn't it? That's part of like convincing your brain that actually this isn't just me.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I loved when I ran the course last time, is in the Q&A sessions, other people were sharing, you know, their situations, and everyone else is like, oh, it's not just me. I'm not alone. You know, there's real strength in that. So, yeah, don't suffer in silence. So I hope you found that useful. As ever, come and let us know. Messages on LinkedIn. We love hearing from you. Come and join us in the Facebook group, and come and join me on the Invisible to Influential course. I would absolutely love to see you there.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, everybody. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. And we hope that this has been useful to you. As ever, we would love it if you could rate and review the podcast on your podcast app. It really does help us reach and support more foodies out there.
We'd also love it if you'd come and join us in the Facebook group, the O for Food Sake community. And if you want to get in touch with us personally, Lucy is available for consultancy advice and training, and can be found on LinkedIn as Lucy Wager.
And if you want to reach out to Amy for any one-to-one coaching, group facilitation or training, then contact her on LinkedIn at Amy Wilkinson Coach. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
See you next time. This podcast is sponsored by Damer Ingredients, who provide best-in-class functional ingredients such as starches, proteins, fibres and gums, to name but a few, into food manufacturers across the UK and Ireland.
I've worked with Damer on various projects for my own brand and with my clients. And what I love about working with them is their in-depth technical knowledge and their ability to apply that to the specific products that you're actually working on.
So they've become an extension to your own development team, supporting them with their knowledge from concept through to launch. To find out more, visit www.damer.com.